we'll sort of hang loose. Go ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
And I apologize for messing up your little...
Pledge allegiance?
Yes. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I want to thank you very much for helping me out.
Okay.
You know, you saw something tonight you were telling me about. You want to tell the listening audience all about what you saw?
Oh, yeah. Well, when we were driving back to Solo, driving back to home, it was getting really dark, and the baby was crying so loud because she didn't like to stay in the car. But then, Mommy told me, look right there. There's a female in this female had big horns, really big horns.
And what was it?
It was a deer, and it really, was a big deer. And then this little baby one crossed the street, and then it was a deer too, and then it had a white butt.
White butt. Okay, sweetheart. I think that's enough of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, somebody called today and told me there was going to be some revelations on the Tom Valentine show tonight, so I listened. Tom thinks he has a scoop, but he doesn't. I hate to tell him that. But I got to tell you this, I was proud of old Tom tonight. Almost makes me want to reevaluate my position on him, except for a couple of things that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to tell you now what the investigation of the intelligence service has turned up. And I'm also going to tell you that we were the ones who broke the story about Gary Hunt being in Oklahoma City on the morning of the bombing. And we told you that it was in a videotape that we have in our possession. Also, Linda Thompson also broke that story just within a few days after the bombing. You heard it on this broadcast first, within days of the bombing. We identified Gary Hunt as being on the scene, walking down an alley with what appeared to be an electronic transmitter in his hand that could have been a detonator. I have the tape, folks, of the broadcast. Knowing that, and knowing several other things that had happened before the bombing, our investigation took a completely different different bent than any other investigation in the country. You see, quite a while before the bombing took place, somebody called this broadcast on a night when we were having call-ins and wanted to know if I had heard anything about anything that was supposed to happen in Oklahoma City. I know that many of you were listening to that broadcast. We also have that broadcast on tape. It's on tape, ladies and gentlemen. And I replied that no, I didn't know that anything was going to happen in Oklahoma City, but I did know that two people had come by our research center, gave us a copy of the Turner Diaries, and told us to keep our eye on Oklahoma, and wanted to know if they could get some help from us, and I told them, nope, no way. No way, I don't want to know what you're doing, I don't care what you're doing, we will not help you in any way, shape, or form if you have any intentions of hurting anybody or any property. They were only there for a few minutes, and I made the remark on the broadcast that I didn't think that they would do anything simply because we're always contacted by crazies, and also for the fact that I knew that they were under surveillance. There was a person across the street taking photographs of them the whole time, and I plainly stated that on this broadcast. I have no idea who they were. It happened so long ago that I don't even remember anything about them. And as I said, they were only there for a few minutes. Our investigation has shown that people traveled all over the country, ladies and gentlemen, in what appears to be a sting operation attempting to suck patriots into performing an illegal act. They went to Florida. They went to Michigan. They came to Arizona, and they went to other locations in Texas, Kansas, and I could go on. They claimed that they believed in leaderless resistance. This is what people tell us. They tried to engage these people in conversations to get them to commit to helping them do something which they would not explain what it was going to be. Nobody that I know of took them up on it, except possibly Gary Hunt. We know that John Doe number 2 is an informant for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And we know that it's John Doe number 2 that is the instigator. It is John Doe number 2 that always did all the talking. It is John Doe number 2 that sucked Timothy McVeigh into this, if indeed he was sucked into it. It is John Doe number 2 that disappeared and that has been whitewashed by the authorities. We know that Gary Hunt not only was in Oklahoma City that morning, but he was at Waco. We know that he betrayed Linda Thompson at Waco, and Linda Thompson revealed that both publicly on her radio broadcast and in her writings. We also know that Gary Hunt stole a set of press credentials from our organization and then disappeared with those credentials and then denied ever having them. We also have a videotape of Gary Hunt acting as the pallbearer at the funeral of an ATF agent. And if any of you have the video, Waco the Big Lie, that was put out by Linda Thompson, you also have that footage because it's in that video. We positively identified Gary Hunt on the scene in Oklahoma City the morning of the bombing in the videotape taken by a local Oklahoma City television station. And I told you that on the air on this broadcast. Linda Thompson has also released that publicly within days of the bombing. We also know from talking to people around the country, many of them who call us and will not identify themselves, and I don't blame them. We know that the tattoo worn by John Doe number 2 is a tattoo that you can wash off and put on anytime you want to. Because at times, he had it on his arm, and at other times, he didn't have it on his arm. When he did have it on his arm, the colors were brilliant and vivid. And tattoos are not like that, folks. Only the iron-on type tattoos are like that. Because if someone wanted to really practice what is called leaderless resistance, according to the Turner Diaries, they would not have been going around the country telling everybody that they intended to do something and try to suck them into helping them, and then hand them a copy of the Turner Diaries and tell them to keep their eye on Oklahoma City. Actually, they didn't say Oklahoma City, they just said Oklahoma. They told it to people all over the country, so don't go off the handle on Mark Kornke, because this was a setup. These people went to everybody in the country, and you know why nobody's talking? You want to know why nobody's saying anything? You want to know why I'm the only one that has the guts to say it? Because I said it before it happened on the air. And that's the only thing that protects me. I have a record of it. See, I wasn't hiding anything. The other people across the country won't come forward because the press literally creamed the militia and patriots in the press. They are afraid to come forward. The reaction described by Mark Kornke and his friends when these guys who were talking to Tom Valentine told him or asked them what they thought about what McVeigh had done in Oklahoma City is a reflection of the fear instilled by the publicity. Can you imagine what would happen to somebody who is identified as a member of the militia or a patriot who would come forward after the lies and the propaganda that the press has put on this country and say that somebody had come to them and handed them a copy of the Turner Diaries and told them they believed in leaderless resistance and keep your eye on Oklahoma? Well, you see, they can't. They would be destroyed. I can, because I said it on the air before anything happened in Oklahoma. And I stated on the air that these guys were under surveillance, so they probably wouldn't do anything. And they hadn't said that they were going to do anything anyway. Because there was somebody across the street taking pictures of them the whole time they were there. I knew that they were under surveillance. I knew that these clowns had been tagged. It makes me suspicious of these people on the Tom Valentine broadcast tonight, because they said they were standing there listening to these guys talking to Mark Kornke, yet they never told anybody about it. Now they're trying to pin something on Mark Kornke. This sounds like the ADL to me. It sounds like the ADL, the JDL, the CIA, all the dirty trick jerks in this world that pull this kind of crap. That's why we knew from the beginning that because they were under surveillance and that they had whitewashed John Doe number 2 and that instantly they had come out with drawings that were actually almost photographic renditions that we have confirmed by talking to the people who work at this truck rental place who supposedly were the ones who gave them the information from which they made these drawings. They said, no, they didn't. Those drawings came from photographs, ladies and gentlemen. John Doe number 2 is an agent provocateur. And so is Gary Hunt. And both Linda Thompson and I outed Gary Hunt during the Waco siege. And all of you who listened to this broadcast heard me do it on this broadcast, and you ridiculed Linda Thompson and me for doing it. And now you're finding out that we were right once again. We've been right all along. There's some stinky fish in Denmark. And there was some stinky fish on the Tom Valentine show tonight. Although Tom Valentine probably could not have known that. You see, wherever these people went, there were people there to hear and photograph and tape record. Those of us who are leaders in this movement are targets for this kind of thing all the time. Somebody walked in our research center one day and told me he had a whole truck full of Stinger missiles and wanted to know if I was interested. I told him to get the hell out of my sight and don't ever let me see him again. And I wasn't worried that he really had a truck full of Stinger missiles. This guy was a BATF agent. Simple as that. I know that my phones have been tapped since forever. And I also have no fear because I don't do anything unlawful or illegal ever. The FBI and the BATF know everything that I have just told you, and they're covering it up. They know everything that those guys on Tom Valentine show told you, and they're covering it up. And those guys on the Tom Valentine show, for all I know, might even be part of it. I don't know. They may not be part of it. But if they've done their investigation properly, they know what I know, that these guys went all over the country doing what I've just told you. And that everybody is afraid to talk about it. They know that the FBI knows it. They know that the BATF knows it. Why are they trying to paint this thing on Kornke? You know what I feel about Kornke. I don't know who Kornke represents or what he's about. Because Kornke lied to me the first time he ever contacted me about who he was. And he swore to me that he would provide documentation. And he never, ever did. He told me that he was an operative of the United States Air Force Office of Special Investigation, AFOSI, and began to feed me information to suck me in, which I knew was correct, but I wanted documentation, and I wanted documentation on who he said he was. And I investigated and found out he was not a member of the Air Force Office of Special Investigation, and we told him to fly a kite and don't ever contact us again. And now he tells people he was a member of the Army G2 intelligence and that he was an intelligence analyst. And folks, that ain't true either. But I will tell you this. I don't know if Kornke was a part of this or not. But I do know I would be the last one to accuse him of being part of it, because what I know about this setup in Oklahoma City, and that's exactly what it was. It was a setup, an attempt to destroy the Patriot and militia movement in this country. And to my knowledge, they did not suck anybody in. And they certainly didn't suck Gary Hunt in, because Gary Hunt has always been one of the other side. We know that the government has photographs of these people, because I wasn't the only one who saw the surveillance team taking photographs of them. And I got to tell you something else. If I haven't had it revealed, what I knew about it, before it ever happened, I'd be like everybody else in this country. I wouldn't be telling you what I'm telling you now. But because I did, because I was smart enough to, I can. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think this country, as I've been telling you for a long time, is in for a real rude awakening. I predicted that these things would happen a long, long time ago. I wrote about it in my book. I told you that there would come a day when patriots would be called terrorists, when the government itself and those organizations who are behind one world totalitarian socialist government would create terrorist acts in the United States in order to disarm the American people and bring it about. And that is exactly what has happened and exactly what is going to continue to happen. In my book, I called it absolutely 100%. I named the first target as New York City because that's where the big reactionary jerks in this country are at. And I knew that they would hit there first. I didn't know where they would hit, and I've told you this before. I had no idea where they would hit. And in fact, I honestly believed that they might even use a very small atomic weapon. Now, if you don't believe me, get my book and read it. I also predicted the rash of shootings in shopping centers and school grounds by people with a history of mental illness who were taking a specific drug, and I named the drug in my book. These people have been subjected to mind control experimentation. And in every case, I said in my book, they would commit suicide, and they have in every single case. How do I know all this, folks? God doesn't whisper in my ear. I wish he would. I know it because I have studied these crippled minds for over 25 years. Actually, it's 23 years to be exact. I have been studying them for 23 years. Ever since I found out what they were doing as a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence on the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. When I discovered there was going to be a one-world government, and it was the United States that was bringing it about. There's a lot more that we have discovered that I'm not willing at this time to reveal to you, but we will be revealing it. We also know that whoever did the train wreck down in Hyder, Arizona, knew an awful lot about the railroad. You see, a standard practice with railroad people to take approximately that number of spikes out of a track on one side of the track to lay a car down whenever they want to. I've been speaking to railroad people all over the country. You know what they tell me? They tell me, oh, this was done by somebody who knows an awful lot about the railroad and has worked for the railroad. It wasn't done by any militia people, I can tell you that, or any patriots. We also have what they say is a copy of the note. I don't know if it is or not. And down at the bottom, it says Sons of the Gestapo, and then separate from that, it says SOG. I don't know if you know what SOG means, but I can tell you right now, it means Special Operations Group of the Department of Defense. Bobo Gritz's old organization. And I'm not saying that they did it. I don't even believe that whoever did it put those notes there, to tell you the truth. If they did, they were fools. And they're not notes anyway. It's really a letter. And the letter is copied almost verbatim from an article that was written right after the Waco thing. About Waco. Verbatim. It's just a copy of something else. That had nothing to do with terrorism. Now, these people who blew up that building in Oklahoma City, were part of a sting operation that didn't work. They didn't sting anybody. Nobody fell for it. And it's a shame that people across the country who know about this and who talked to the people involved can't come forward because of what the press has done to demonize them. Otherwise, I can assure you they would. Because they've assured me that they would, and I believe them. They called me because they trusted me and they knew that I would use the information to try to solve this crime. And most of them have done so without even letting me know who they are. I also thought it was extremely suspicious that those guys on the Tom Valentine show attacked Linda Thompson. Would they know full well that Linda Thompson revealed publicly and can prove it that Gary Hunt was in Oklahoma City on the day of the bombing, and she identified him in the videotape the same as I did? She didn't have a radio program at that time, so she couldn't say it on the air like I did. And they also tried to link Linda Thompson with Gary Hunt when Gary Hunt was denounced by Linda Thompson during Waco, and she named Gary Hunt as a BATF informant during Waco. So the question I want to ask is, who are these guys who were on the Tom Valentine show tonight, and just exactly what are they up to? Are they a part of this? Are they a part of trying to put the sting on the Patriot movement or the militia groups? I don't know, and I'm not accusing them. But I will tell you this. I'm going to find out. And I suggest you do the same. I'll be right back after a brief pause, and we'll take your calls. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. I'm holding a $20 gold piece in my hand right now as I'm talking. I wish I could describe to you the beauty of this coin. I don't know where to start if you've never really seen a real gold coin before in your life, especially a $20 St. Gaudens. It is beautiful. The work that went into producing the die that made this coin is just incredible. And gold. Gold of this quality, ladies and gentlemen, is a sight to behold. It's heavy. I don't even have to look at it to know that it's worth something. I can make something out of this. I can use it. It's not a piece of paper that's going to just disappear over a period of time. This is real. It has substance. It's malleable. It's the best conductor of electricity that I know of in the world. It can be made into beautiful jewelry and art, objects d'art. As some would say. It's real money. It will always have worth. It is no wonder. You see, if you've never held one and you don't really know what it feels like or how heavy it is or what it looks like, you can't really probably conceive of why it would have the value that it does and keep its value over the years that it has. The dollar can go up or down. If the dollar goes up, the price of gold goes down. If the dollar goes down, the price of gold goes up. But you see, no matter what the dollar does, you can still buy the same amount of commodities or bread or cars or anything else you want to talk about with the same amount of gold today as you could 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, or 100 years from today. The paper, phony, funny money, Confederate junk that you have in your pocket can't do that. Has never done it, and can never, and will never do it. In fact, every economy in the history of the world that has been built upon paper has failed. Not one single economy that has ever been based upon real, hard assets has ever failed. Now, all of this stuff that you've been hearing, all of this stuff that we've been imparting to you and teaching you and documenting and revealing to you over the years, ladies and gentlemen, should tell you that we're headed for a big fall. There are forces at work in this country that are bent upon destroying this nation to bring about world government. Everything that I have predicted has come true. The Michael New incident. I predicted this would happen. That United States military personnel would be assigned under the United Nations, under foreign commanders, as the police force of the world. It has happened. It's not a theory. It's not the ravings of some lunatic. It's real. I also told you, and people laughed at me, that this could not happen without the complicity, consent, and total compliance of the officer corps of all of the military forces of the United States of America. In other words, they've kissed their oath goodbye, thrown it out the window. So you need to prepare yourself. You need water. You need food. You need real money. You're going to need something to protect yourself with. You're going to need guns and ammunition. And not necessarily to protect yourself from the government.
if happens what we believe will happen, you may need it to protect yourself from your next door neighbor. And remember, on this broadcast, I have encouraged you to form militias, not to go off and fight some mystical war somewhere, but to secure military and political control of your community and maintain law and order. I said it over and over and over again. I've also told you whoever fires the first shot loses. You see, if we can depend upon these jerks to keep doing the stupid things that they do, they'll ultimately be exposed, and maybe nobody will have to fire a shot. Although, that's getting less viable all the time. I think they're going to force it, one way or another. Because that's their doctrine. Socialism rises to power through revolution. Read Marx. Read Lenin. It's all there, laid out. They never change. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. Get the weight off your shoulders, folks. Take care of business. 1-800-289-2646. Tell them you're a steady listener to the hour of the time. And you'll get red carpet treatment. Call now. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. We're going to open the phones, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who have never heard the phone number before, the call-in line is 520-333-4578. And the rest of the day, it's our fax number. 520-333-4578. Are open, ladies and gentlemen. 520-333-4578. We also have found another weather treaty. And by the way, the next issue of Veritas will contain the Canadian weather treaty in... What's the other one? The other one is a multilateral... prohibition of military and or other hostile use of environmental modification techniques. So, if you haven't subscribed to Veritas, I encourage you to do so. I'm going to have to check some equipment here, folks, so I'll be back in just a second. Thank you. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I'd like to ask you what you think about the derailment, Amtrak derailment. And do you think they're going to blame it on Patriot militia groups?
I don't think they can. There weren't any Patriot militia groups involved. They've already tried, and it didn't fly. Their stupid little tag sons of the Gestapo gave that away right quick. I've already told everybody what I think about it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number, folks. And we can talk about whatever you want. You can talk about what you heard tonight. You can talk about, I don't care, whatever you want. For those of you who have not yet subscribed to Veritas, it is, without any doubt, the best newspaper in the United States. It's the newspaper that has broken a lot of the silence on a lot of the issues that the so-called establishment press considers to be taboo, will not discuss, will not print stories. We were the ones who found and printed the seismograph reports from both Oklahoma University and the Omniplex. In fact, we were the only ones who got our hands on the seismograph from the Omniplex. We were the people who printed the truth about the BATF and the IRS in our last issue. In the first issue, we revealed in pages and pages and pages and pages of quotes out of their own mouth the fact that this is not a conspiracy. It's all out in the open. And it has been talked about openly over the years by people like Henry Kissinger, George Bush, many, many, many others. We started off with a subscription rate of $55 for 24 issues. And because of the overwhelming response for the first 5 issues, we were able to build a subscription base that allowed us to come out of what you call the red and be able to drop the price by half, in fact. So now, if you'd like to have a subscription to Veritas, you can have one for 24 issues for $27. $27 for 24 issues. Of the only newspaper in this country right now where you can even get close to anything resembling the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We don't pull any punches. We tell it like it is. If you'd like to order your subscription, send $27 to Veritas, spelled V-E-R-I-T-A-S, Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. You know, I don't know what's wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. But before the broadcast started, I tripped over the phone cord. And I don't know if I have broken it or what. Or if you're all out there sitting there in your sleep, I'm not sure. But I can tell you this. Nothing's happening with the phones. So, I'm going to read you a part of this weather treaty from the U.S. Treaties and Other International Agreements, 31 U.S.T., TIAS 9614, pages 333 to 380, 78-741, 0-81-22. And this was obtained from the University of Oklahoma Bazell Library, Government Printing Office, Selective Depository, Government Documents Collection, 4th floor, pages 333 to 342. Now, this is published in different languages, ladies and gentlemen, because it's an international treaty. This is TIAS 9614, published in English. Multilateral prohibition of military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques. The convention was done at Geneva, May 18, 1977. The ratification advised by the Senate of the United States of America, November 28, 1979. Ratified by the President of the United States of America, December 13, 1979. Ratification of the United States of America deposited with the Secretary General of the United Nations, January 17, 1980, proclaimed by the President of the United States of America, February 12, 1980, entered into force with respect to the United States of America, January 17, 1980, by the President of the United States of America. A proclamation considering that the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques was opened for signature at Geneva on May 18, 1977, and was signed on behalf of the United States of America on that date, a certified copy of which convention is hereto annexed. The Senate of the United States of America, by its resolution of November 28, 1979, two-thirds of the senators present concurring therein gave its advice and consent to the ratification of the convention. The President of the United States of America ratified the convention on December 13, 1979, in pursuance of the advice and consent of the Senate. The United States of America deposited its instrument of ratification on January 17, 1980, in accordance with the provisions of Article 9 of the convention. The convention entered into force for the United States of America on January 17, 1980. Now, therefore, I, Jimmy Carter, President of the United States of America, proclaim and make public the convention to the end that it be observed and fulfilled with good faith on and after January 17, 1980, by the United States of America and by the citizens of the United States of America and all other persons subject to the jurisdiction thereof. In testimony whereof, I have signed this proclamation and caused the seal of the United States of America to be affixed. Done at the city of Washington this 12th day of February in the year of our Lord, 1980, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 204th. Signed, Jimmy Carter. Seal by the President, Cyrus Vance, Secretary of State. Convention on the Prohibition of Military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques. The states parties to this convention, guided by the interest of consolidating peace and wishing to contribute to the cause of halting the arms race and of bringing about general and complete disarmament under strict and effective international control and of saving mankind from the danger of using new means of warfare, determined to continue negotiations with a view to achieving effective progress towards further measures in the field of disarmament. Recognizing that scientific and technical advances may open new possibilities with respect to modification of the environment, recalling the declaration of the United Nations Conference on the Human Environment adopted at Stockholm on 16th June 1972, realizing that the use of environmental modification techniques for peaceful purposes could improve the interrelationship of man and nature and contribute to the preservation and improvement of the environment for the benefit of present and future generations, recognizing, however, that military or any other hostile use of such techniques could have effects extremely harmful to human welfare, and desiring to prohibit effectively military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques in order to eliminate the dangers to mankind from such use, and affirming their willingness to work towards the achievement of this objective. Desiring also to contribute to the strengthening of trust among nations and to further improvement of the international situation in accordance with the purposes and principles of the Charter of the United Nations, have agreed as follows. 1. Each state party to this convention undertakes not to engage in military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques having widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects as the means of destruction, damage, or injury to any other state party. 2. Each state party to this convention undertakes not to assist, encourage, or induce any state, group of states, or international organization to engage in activities contrary to the provisions of paragraph 1 of this article. Article 2. As used in Article 1, the term environmental modification techniques refers to any technique for changing, through the deliberate manipulation of natural processes, the dynamics, composition, or structure of the earth, including its biota, lithosphere, hydrosphere, and atmosphere, or of outer space. Article 3. 1. The provisions of this convention shall not hinder the use of environmental modification techniques for peaceful purposes and shall be without prejudice to the generally recognized principles and applicable rules of international law concerning such use. The states parties in this convention undertake to facilitate and have the right to participate in the fullest possible exchange of scientific and technological information on the use of environmental modification techniques of peaceful purposes. States parties in a position to do so shall contribute, alone or together with other states or international organizations, to international economic and scientific cooperation in the preservation, improvement, and peaceful utilization of the environment, with due consideration for the needs of the developing areas of the world. Article 4. Each state party to this convention undertakes to take any measures it considers necessary in accordance with its constitutional processes to prohibit and prevent any activity in violation of the provisions of the convention anywhere under its jurisdiction or control. Article 5. The states parties to this convention undertake to consult one another and to cooperate in solving any problems which may arise in relation to the objectives of or in the application of the provisions of the convention. Consultation and cooperation pursuant to this article may also be undertaken through appropriate international procedures within the framework of the United Nations and in accordance with its charter. These international procedures may include the services of appropriate international organizations as well as of a consultative committee of experts as provided for in paragraph 2 of this article. 2. For the purposes set forth in paragraph 1 of this article, the depository shall, within 1 month of the receipt of a request from any state party to this convention, convene a consultative committee of experts. Any state party may appoint an expert to the committee whose functions and rules of procedure are set out in the annex, which constitutes an integral part of this convention. The committee shall transmit to the depository a summary of its findings of fact, incorporating all views and information presented to the committee during its proceedings. The depository shall distribute the summary to all states parties. 3. Any state party to this convention which has reason to believe that any other state party is acting in breach of obligations deriving from the provisions of the convention may lodge a complaint with the Security Council of the United Nations. Such a complaint should include all relevant information as well as all possible evidence supporting its validity. 4. Each state party to this convention undertakes to cooperate in carrying out any investigation which the Security Council may initiate in accordance with the provisions of the Charter of the United Nations on the basis of the complaint received by the Council. The Security Council shall inform the states parties of the results of the investigation. 5. Each state party to this convention undertakes to provide or support assistance, in accordance with the provisions of the Charter of the United Nations, to any state party which so requests, if the Security Council decides that such party has been harmed or is likely to be harmed as a result of violation of the convention. Article 6. Any state party to this convention may propose amendments to the convention. The text of any proposed amendment shall be submitted to the depository, who shall promptly circulate it to all states parties. 2. An amendment shall enter into force for all states parties to this convention which have accepted it, upon the deposit with the depository of instruments of acceptance by a majority of states. states' parties. Thereafter, it shall enter into force for any remaining state party on the date of deposit of its instrument of acceptance. Article 7. This convention shall be of unlimited duration, and the folks, we're out of time. Tomorrow night, I'll continue and complete this for you. It's just about, I don't know, three more pages. Good night, and God bless you all.